This is cassette number 2 of a message by David Ebal entitled Sonship, Abba Father.
There is a certain day, it's called Tabernacles, when he himself, the actual real presence of God himself dwells. Not the Spirit of God, but the real presence. There's a difference. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, but the God is His presence. It's the Shekinah, the glory, that dwells right there. And although we can get glimpses of it, we can't have it until that day. I'm trying to get you excited, but I'm trying to keep you still, in a reasonable realm.
When He appears,
we can
be like
Him. Yeah. So you keep getting better, you keep having this change in your mind, you keep exercising faith for different parts of your body that are wrong, perfecting, so that on that day, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That's the blessed hope. That's called a Christian's blessed hope. When the body changes. Well, your body's not going to change till your mind's changed. Your mind's not going to change till your spirit's changed. If you haven't been saved, you better get saved. Except Jesus as your Lord and Savior, something will jump on the inside. You're saved. Then the Spirit takes over. And we've noticed from church history, the Spirit hasn't had much of a chance. Because almost all the church people says, I got it all. John, the 9th chapter, he says, you guys say you know, you're the blind ones. If you didn't know, I could take you on and show you something. Don't you see it? We've been covering that for the last several weeks now. Admit you don't know. Admit you got a dumb head and God's got to change some thoughts in your mind here. And that the Word, the ingrafted Word, is the only way to do it. Then you stand a chance. But if you say, oh, well, I've been going to this church and been studying that doctrine for so long, I've got the answers to that. Well, I'm sorry, but the Spirit can't do much with you. This makes sense. And the smarter you get, the dumber you get. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. Isn't that right? Don't you remember when you used to go to that denomination, you had all the answers?
Yeah. Don't you remember when you were 17?
Huh? And as you put on maturity, you find out there's lots of areas that are yet to cover, don't you? Okay. I got to get to my Presbyterian side of the book here now. All right. Hope that is seen is not hope. Mm-hmm. For what a man sees, what does he have hope for? Make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
If we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now there's your hope. That's your next step. If you've received the baptism, if you haven't received the baptism, you ought to get in that step. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want you to see something. You got to be called. For whom He did what?
Foreknow.
He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among
many brethren.
Many brethren. The called are predestined to become perfect, just like Jesus.
there are people that are not called, predestined to have a call?
Yes. Grandma didn't. She died. And she wasn't like Jesus. She was only getting like him and didn't have much because she had a little salvation, but sure didn't. There is a last and a final generation who are predestined, foreordained from before the foundation of the world, who are going to come into this perfection. Are going to be joint heirs with Christ. But they were chosen from before the foundation of the world to be born. Sometime after, I don't know what date. We're believing 1885 right now because that was the date that Dad was born.
Are you saying the generation is picked, Dave, or the persons within the generation are
picked? Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Both the final generation and those within the final generation.
See, because God could have had you born in 1722.
That's
right.
You were predestinated.
But it was according to his predestined and foreordained plan for Bill Pennywell to see it. And to be in a last generation, this generation that's going to be the takeover generation, this generation that's going to come into the kingship.
In other words, they had the revelation of this truth all these centuries, but no one ever appropriated it or could use it in all those years past.
They didn't have a revelation, it was just words.
Well, I mean...
Those are just words until you know what to say.
They've been bugging me for a long time.
You and both.
Because it says, you know, it says, Jesus says, I am come that all may be saved and none may be lost. Here you're saying this means, we're talking about the end generation.
Now, I don't mean to say the others were lost. I mean to say they did not come into perfection. Now, it talks of those and it says they cannot be perfect until we come into this perfection in Hebrews. There is a final generation who will perfect the other generations. And before the judgment time, they'll come in and say, well, I'm perfect because they're perfect. Don't you see it? Look.
Yes.
You say, I'm saved because Jesus took my sins. The Bible talks of many saviors who are going to enter into this perfection realm. Then those who have died can stand before God and say, I'm perfect because I just wasn't born the right year. And they entered into perfection, so I enter perfection. Jesus overcame sin, so I overcome it through him. Isn't that right?
Well, if they can say it, those that have gone on before, why can those aren't into perfection that are still here say the same thing?
Well, they can. Anybody can, but not everybody will. I don't miss you. I don't catch you. What were you talking about?
I'll have to think this one out.
Well, all right, let me look at it this way. Let's start from the tabernacle. At the tabernacle, on the outside, it's full of people. And only 1 out of 10 gets through the door to make the sacrifice and get saved. And that's maybe got 100 there. But now, 10 of those guys are going up to the labor and get sanctified. Now, out of that 10, only one's going to go through the door and get in where the candlesticks are. And he's going to be a Pentecostal Christian. And we're going to have to wait till 10 of them come before one of them can get over. See, it keeps getting less and less, don't you see? And get the engrafting of the Word. And after that, there's going to have to wait till 10 of them gets up. That means 100 over here at the candlestick, or 1,000, I forget how the ratios go. Until we get one that will get up to the altar, the golden altar, and we got to get 10 there before one will go on into the... Because we've had prayer warriors, we've had intercessory prayer people that have been at the golden altar, and yet very, very few of them get on into the Holy of Holies, you see.
But is that by choice or by selection, Dave?
That's what I mean.
Selection. This is where we get into the old... This is where... See, we got Presbyterians here and Lutherans there.
Yeah.
And Lutherans don't believe in it, but Presbyterians do.
Well,
and I'm
not
right.
Not the will of man, but the will of God. Mm-hmm. So you weren't your father's mistake.
Let's read this again here. Let's read it again. I'm not talking... Bill, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about predestined to become sons of God, not predestined to be saved.
The image of Christ. Your character would be the image of Christ.
Some people take this to be predestined to be saved. It's not what it's talking about at all.
it's attain the full stature of the man.
Yeah, right. This is the sons of God, the perfect people. We here for 29. For whom he did what? He also did what? To be conformed to the image of his son. That Jesus might be the firstborn among
many brethren.
Moreover, whom he did
predestinate,
them he also
called.
And whom he called, he also
justified.
And whom he justified, them he also
glorified.
Okay, there you are. What shall we say then? What shall we then say then?
Praise the Lord.
If God has chosen you to hear stuff like this, to get it in your mind and see it, all hell can't stand against you. Now, I admit it takes a little while to see it, a little while to grasp it, and a little while to move into it. It says neither height nor depth nor... Well, here. Where is it?
Neither 38.
For I'm persuaded, verse 38, that neither depth nor life nor angels or principalities or power things, present things to come, height or depth or any creature, any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he called you, and he chose you, and he predestined you to hear this kind of teaching out of the people that are in Harrisburg.
Praise God.
To see that there's another step besides speaking in tongues. You got saved.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy.
Then you moved into the realm of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's another realm to move into, and it's the Abba Father realm. And if you're predestined and foreordained and chosen, you're going to do it, and I don't care what's going to stand in your way.
This is the scripture that I always put on for eternal security.
They don't even know what to
say. But I really never had the detail on that flicker bring me out.
And we're given the power because
it doesn't sound funny, but like you said, it is eternal. When you know you're called or chosen.
But it's for the final generation, Mary. It's for the sons of God. It's for those that are going to be conformed to his image. It's for those who are going to put on the mind of Christ. It's for those who are going to be perfect in all realms. And there's quite a bit of difference between this kind of teaching and the teaching that says you got it all the day you went to the altar. And you know full well that something was wrong.
Brother Paul said that he received this by revelation. No one ever knew about it or arrived at it by the exercise of their mental intellect. Do you believe that he understood as we understand it now, or do you think that he had to have the Spirit's mind also on what things he actually wrote?
I think that many of the prophets didn't have any idea what you're talking about.
In other words, he wrote it, but you don't think he understood it either.
I think I can prove to you he didn't understand it. For if he understood it, he would have never done what he did. Paul committed a terrible sin. Holy apostle. And if he would have known what he was saying, he would have never gone that way. He couldn't have gone that way. But he chose to go the way of death. And he made up his mind in actual opposition to what the Spirit was telling him.
But he wasn't
in that generation. Well, no. You see, he wasn't predestined. We are. Or we wouldn't see it. There wouldn't be astronauts up in the moon right now fooling around up there for us to know and see the signs in the heaven above and the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. These things are for us. That Boeing 747 is for me. To get another trip to Israel on. Listen, this whole book of Romans is about finding fault with each other.
Right.
The whole thing from one end to the other is finding fault with each other. And we're not allowed as sons of God to find fault with each other. And he says so clearly, all things are legal for me. That's a sure shocker. All things are legal for me, but they're not all expedient. I can't do them. And he says, keep your big nose in your own business. And he says, the law brings condemnation, but life and truth is through Jesus Christ. And this whole book, from one end to the other, is quit condemning. You're not allowed to condemn sons of God. For the Spirit can tell them to do things that the law says are absolute against the law. Now think of this. The Spirit can come upon a son of God and tell him to tell a man to pick up his bed and walk on the Sabbath.
Yeah. Don't pick up a broom and don't sweep the house.
On the Sabbath?
No.
It says here that all things are legal, but they're not all expedient. Of course, this particular son of God, the only begotten son of God, just constantly broke the law of Moses, just seeming to me to irritate those guys. To try to show them the truth of the matter. You can do lots of things that Moses said you're not allowed to do. I can tell some of you are real mad at me for saying that right now. Some of you had you had bacon and eggs for breakfast and still are mad at me for saying that. I think you're so silly for eating bacon and then turn around getting mad at me for saying that. That it's okay to break the law. And you turn right around and...
How about that?
Didn't Peter say three things after Pentecost? Not to eat the blood of a strangle, or the meat of a strangle, not to drink the blood, and abstain from all sexual impurities. He said three things. And he kind of headed up what all the Mosaic laws did.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And, but the law says, thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And how many of you have ever eaten milk gravy on beef?
No. Mm-hmm.
I very much like to have a piece of bread with butter on it and gravy.
Yeah, you ever put butter, on a beef sandwich?
Gravy,
huh?
Yeah.
That's against the Moses law.
No, it is, but I don't care.
Cream beef.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was butter in the hotel there at the same time we had meat.
Right, you have to bag if you want a cream in your.
Hey, listen, I got to get to the end of this little thing. I'm only on the second page.
Praise the Lord.
You're allowed overtime, brother.
Okay. Galatians 4 says, 4:1, you can turn to it if you want. Galatians 4:1 is my chapter because it explains where I am and the reason I'm here. It should be the same to you. Have you got it? Galatians. It's under G.
Janet,
4:1. Now I say that the heir. Did they say your heirs?
Yep.
Okay. As long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant. And that's the reason you're in the mess you're in tonight, Glenn. Though he be Lord of all, Glenn. Rocky, you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we when we're children. Hey, did you know that's the reason that that boss talked to you that way? Huh? All right. You see, God appoints governors. Did you know that says in the Bible? He puts them in. And he gives you a boss, sometimes a good one, sometimes a bad one. Or a bad teacher, or a good teacher, or who knows what. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, I wonder what that's talking about. The manifestation of the sons of God, the bar mitzvah. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now he's going to become perfect now, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the
adoption
of sons. Now the next verse says,
because you are sons.
You what? Receive the
Spirit.
Because your sons, God has sent forth his
Spirit
of his Son
into your heart.
Have you had the Spirit of his Son? Crying, Abba Father. I want you to let this jump inside. And next time you pray, pray Abba. Pray Daddy. Daddy Father. Our Daddy, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Doesn't that sound sacrilegious?
No.
Why, it sounds almost like they throw you out of church for saying anything like that. Thy kingdom. Well, you got the idea here now. Now, you understand that when you say you're a son and start learning sonship qualities and learn to practice as a son, after all, you know, you're going to have to play like you're a son for 14 years.
Are you giving us a clue there with that
learning.
14 years?
No. I'm just trying to say.
I am a man.
That's the Jewish law. In other words, I'm trying to say it takes a period of time of learning some things, and then all of a sudden, that day, Daddy says, come over here, boy.
Yeah, but everybody in the world doesn't call you Daddy. There's only one boy that calls you Daddy.
And there's not everybody in the world going to call him Abba.
No.
Lots of people are going to still pray Our Father, which I don't even know what they said. Does this make sense to you? See what the difference is now. Now, John 1:12, I'm going to review it for just a minute, says, as many as received him, if you're taking notes, oh, by the way, you can get these little pamphlets up here. They're on the piano later. I'm on the inside of the second page of the pamphlet. I just got to the second page, and I'm trying to get there at the end. But, as many as received him, that's John 1:12, have you received him?
Mm-hmm.
To them gave he power. Have you got the power?
Mm-hmm.
To become
sons
of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, now look, every one of these scriptures says exactly what I've been saying, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Three steps to salvation. The spirit, the soul, and the body. There are three steps to your salvation. Your spirit must be saved. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You must give consent to it, and you must say it with your mouth, and all of a sudden you're saved. But do you know what? The next day you can do some mighty immature things, can't you? And those people kept saying you received everything God's got for you. And you know that you don't know hardly anything yet in the realm of salvation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit starts to lead your mind and lead you from a tremendous labyrinth of channels and tunnels and so forth. Have you been through them? Amazed that the Holy Spirit's leading you through. And you've been down some blind alleys when you didn't follow his leading, haven't you? The word become in John 1:12 indicates progression, a progressive act. To them gave he power to become. That means you're not there. It means you didn't get it all the first day. Is this okay? Is anybody a man? Well, it sure is stepping on a lot of fundamental toes or teachings. Right, Nate?
Yeah.
You know? But it does the scripture say it? All right. The first thing to do is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're trying to get to God any other way, you're a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing to do is to receive the Holy Spirit to lead your mind. And a third thing to do is to come to a personal relationship with God the Father, crying, Abba, Father, and become a son. Because as many as received him didn't become sons, it says, gave their power to become,
mm-hmm.
turn into. They were born but certainly weren't manifest. All right, let's go on.
Verse 13.
Where? Read it, Betty. I don't know where you are.
Christ were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man.
She's in Galatians 4, aren't you?
No, St. John
no.
1:13.
Oh, 1. That's right, sure.
We're born of the will of God. It wasn't your father's mistake.
Praise God.
I believe that, too.
I do, too, Bill.
It was the will of God that you were conceived and born.
So I'm convinced of that.
I am, too.
After 40 years, I'm convinced of that.
Praise God, I'm not an accident. Born of the will of the Father. Praise God.
Maybe you won't convince them there.
Well, those are the ones that think they're God. 1:13. St. John, 1:13.
Somebody turn to Mark 14:36 right now, will you, and read that to me.
He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt.
Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right after this John chapter 17 experience, do you remember? Right after that John 17, he went right to the garden and began to pray. Now we find him in Mark and he prays, Abba, Father. He's continuing the thought of Father that he has started in John 17.
For the concluding part of this message by David Ebal entitled Sonship, Abba, Father, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.